Good morning. Welcome to Digging the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week we're going to talk about what you can do in the garden right now in the fall. My guests are Master Gardeners Nancy Leonard and Joni Chappell. Good morning.
Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
Okay, so let's start with, this is a lovely fall day, although the weather we had yesterday didn't feel like fall at all. Felt like summer to me. But today I'm going to plant a bunch of seeds for my winter garden. I'm going to plant spinach, kale, chard, bok choy, broccoli, and some cabbage so that I have that through, well, it'll probably be mostly in the early spring. But I'm going to plant that right now. And I have my new raised beds, and I'm going to do that.
What are you doing to prepare your soil for the seeds?
It's already.
Already done.
It's already done. It's a new bed.
Very nice.
Yeah. And so, I mean, if you have any kind of dirt, right, that doesn't have anything in it right now because you've had powdery mildew from all your squash plants, mm-hmm. pull them up and dig it in, put some compost and plant some new stuff. And, I mean, it's really not too late. It's still warm enough. And if you don't want to do seeds and you're not confident, you can buy starts. Starts are available at nurseries, at farmers markets. Mm-hmm. You know, you can start that way. And if you don't start now and you're starting later, you know, you definitely would need to either start the plants inside or buy starts.
Right, because this weekend they're predicting a lot of rain here on the coast. Aren't you worried about your seeds being...
No, you know what I can do? I can take some plastic and just put it over the bed, put some rocks on. I mean, it doesn't have to be up in the air because they're going to be in the ground.
Right.
I'll just cover them up and they'll be fine. And I wouldn't want them to be drowned.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they probably won't even be sprouted by then.
Oh, no.
But it's not going to be cold. So, you know, if they're wet and then you cover them, they'll get warm. And since they're raised, they'll be warmer than if they were on the ground.
True.
And so they'll next week when the rain stops, I'll take the cover off and up they go.
It'd be a great time for planting your winter crops.
Exactly. That's what I'm planning to do. Yeah. Now, I suppose I could have started earlier, but they were busy doing cucumbers and pumpkins and zucchinis and peas and all the other stuff I was doing, so that I didn't have... There wasn't a space for them. Now there's space.
I just went out and picked 30 acorn squash out of my garden.
30?
30 of them.
And what are you going to do with 30?
I'm going to give away a lot of them.
Well, your friends will be happy with you.
Yeah.
They will.
We went through the zucchini. We made people take zucchini in the office. You couldn't go home without having a treatment until you had a zucchini on.
Oh, you could put them in people's mailboxes too.
Well, you could do that. We didn't quite get to that point, but I did. I would pick beans in the community garden plot, and I'd have this huge bag of beans. I mean, like 10 pounds of beans at a time.
Wow!
And I'd walk up the street, and anybody that was out, I'd walk over and open it up and say, "You want some beans?" And I still had a ton.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So. Should we talk about more things we can do in the garden now? Okay, so what have you got on your list of things to do?
Well, we do have our upcoming Winterizing Your Garden and Plant Sale on Saturday, October 18th from 10 to 2 at Clatsop County Fairgrounds, and we'll be talking more about things that you can do. We're going to have a soil testing clinic, and this is a great time to test your soil to let you know what to do.
If you want to do that, you can't just show up there. You have to bring some soil, right?
Bring some soil, yes.
And do you do it in a jar?
A jar or a Ziploc bag.
Okay, how much soil?
Approximately a cup.
Okay,
cup and a half.
Do you wet, dry?
Dry is better. And that probably works for right now because it's been so dry.
Okay, so how do you figure out where you get the soil from?
Well, it's easy if you have raised beds, of course. But if you have a large garden plot, you should get a little bit of soil from different places in the garden.
Is this primarily for a vegetable garden then?
It can be. I mean, a lot of people need to know what other areas of their soil is also. If you're growing flowers, a flower bed, pH is an important factor, and we have charts that tell what the pH should be for the different things that you are growing.
Okay, so what else besides pH is tested?
We're just testing pH. You can also send in, and we'll have information there. It's quite costly, but you can have everything in your soil tested. So you
analysis.
Know, yeah, a soil analysis that tells everything in there. And they say you should probably do that every 3 to 5 years.
And that's for your vegetable garden?
Or...
Oh, it could be for anything.
It could be for anything.
So if you have a problem, like I have a problem with my raspberries. Mm-hmm. They come up, they're beautiful, they flower, and then they ends die. And this is like, we used to have award-winning raspberries in our old house. Mm-hmm. We took raspberries to the new house from those, and this is what they do every year. And I've even bought new raspberries, and they are the same. And I'm wondering if maybe a soil test would give me a clue of what's wrong there. So if somebody has a problem with something.
Definitely. A lot
particular
of
area.
Yes.
It's not any other plant anywhere else. It's just the raspberry. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's the raspberries wherever they are.
Right.
They're in two places and they both do that.
And obviously they don't have some kind of a virus, so it must be the soil.
How do you know it's a virus? I mean, it's not a virus.
No, it doesn't sound like it would be.
Oh, why not?
It sounds more like a soil problem to me.
Okay, all right. Well, that sounds good, because I have tried.
Especially you can rule things out. You can do the soil analysis, and if there's nothing wrong with that, then you can move on to the next thing that it might be.
Which would be the plant itself. Mm-hmm. But being as you've replaced them, and you're still having the same problem, that's why I would start at the bottom and work my way up. Could be the soil.
Well, you know, I keep doing things with the soil. So, like, I add, okay, I'm adding globs of compost, or I'm adding mulch, and I'm
Are
digging
you overdoing it?
Up. Well, I doubt it. I doubt it. And then now there's a boat in front of this big bed, and I can't even get over to it to water it. So, like, now they're not even getting watered. And so I'm feeling really bad. So the boat needs to go so that I can get over there. Yeah, I need to discuss that with the other person in the household. Okay, so soil testing sounds awesome. I'm going to bring some soil from my new beds and see what they need. And then, there's going to be mushroom. Is this like a lecture on mushrooms?
Yes, we're having two guest speakers. Uh-huh. Chuck Myers and Phil Allen, and I'll let Joni tell you about Phil because she's attended one of his presentations before.
I saw a presentation of Phil's about a year ago, and I was absolutely blown away, Anne, about how many varieties are here on the North Coast just for the picking. Phil is a mushroom expert. He knows where to find them and will tell you exactly where they're at. He shows maps.
Whoa.
And they're all locally. He also knows how to cook and prepare them. What is edible and what isn't, and what will kill you? He will bring many samples to show, and it's amazing the mushrooms that are out there for the picking that we don't even know about.
Okay.
The most colorful, beautiful ones are sometimes the most deadly. I saw some gorgeous mushrooms he brought in last September. Gorgeous colors. They were deadly. He said, you eat them, you die. This is a program that's not to be missed.
Uh-huh. Great. Now, what I noticed is this is free.
It is.
Free is a great price.
That's a great price.
Free parking, too.
Yeah. Right, right. Well, at the fairgrounds. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right. They're not going to hit you up for parking as well. Yeah. Uh-uh. Okay. So it truly is free. All right. Mm-hmm. And then Chuck Myers is the worm guy. So
yes. He's our one of our master gardeners, and he gives a great presentation on your maintaining your garden tools and sharpening them and storing them away for the winter. And then this year he is also going to give a presentation on worms. And again, Joni has seen this presentation, and she can tell you a little more about.
Chuck is also an expert, just like Phyllis, but his is on worms. He knows how to build the bins. He knows how to propagate the worms, how to reproduce them, how to feed them. He uses them for compost. And I'll tell you, he loves his worms. He calls them his little buddies, his friends. And he is so knowledgeable of worms that most people, he's also a certified master gardener too. And most people in the program, unless they've seen Chuck in person, you know, doing this presentation, they just don't see him as a worm guy, but he's really good.
I've had him on before and we've talked about worms and he knows his worms. So I'm assuming he'll have some supplies and show how he does it. So
he will.
That sounds great. Okay, now I heard you say something about plant sale. Tell me about that.
Well, we are looking for donations right now. And we will have plants from the demo gardens that the master gardeners are in charge of.
So divisions from the plants.
Exactly. Okay. Right. And we will have a big plant sale, which, like you said, is free admission. And our plants are priced very, very reasonably. We hope to have a good selection of plants available for the public.
So will there be any veggie starts?
I hope so.
Okay, so it depends what people bring.
Exactly.
Right. We have master gardeners that bring things from their own garden, and we're surprised ourselves a lot of times about what we actually get. I know we're going to have irises and some lilies because it's a great time to divide those, and we have a lot of master gardeners that bring those. It's a great time to divide your hostas as well, so we may have some hostas. And
how do you do that without... I mean, it's kind of hard, like, they're different. It's hard to see...
The hostas?
Yeah, I've ended up damaging different, you know, parts of the root bulb when I've tried to dig them up.
Because the top has died down, and it's hard to tell exactly where the root ball is.
Right.
When I dig them in that position, that type of deal, I take and shovel way out on the outside of it.
So farther.
Just like I dig up my dahlias, I shovel so far out and so deep under, I don't damage the roots.
Uh-huh. Okay. I might just not. Do they need to be, do hostas need to be divided periodically?
They do. They get quite large and it depends on the spot that you have it in, of course. If you are hoping for it to be large and fill the spot, then it's not going to harm it. But if you want to have it in more places or it's gotten too large for your space, then definitely dig it. And we'll have some demonstrations at the event on how to divide these. So we'll have them sitting out on tables, and if people come over and want to see, we'll have master gardeners there available with questions, and of course lots of OSU publications and diagrams on exactly what they can take home.
Taken one hosta before and made four out of them, and they're all huge now, all four of them, and I figure I have three plants when I'm all done.
Right, and then actually when they grow up, you can
they can reproduce.
Right,
and
you can have
too.
A lot more. Of course, same thing with irises. So how do you know that you need to divide your irises, lilies? I got day lilies. How do you know when they're ready, when you need to do it?
Especially lilies, you'll see less bloom because they're too crowded and they're not getting all the nutrients that they need to produce the blooms.
So,
if a bunch that you've had over the years and you notice, you know, this year they didn't have as many blooms. They just didn't seem quite as big and full. It's a good time to divide them.
Okay. And how many would you leave in the original place?
Again, it depends on your space. You know, I personally like to have a big bunch there so that you get a good presentation of flowers. So
you wouldn't leave one.
No, I wouldn't
leave
one.
Right, one bulb might leave one flower.
Right, right.
A clump.
Yeah, a clump, definitely.
Okay, so some smaller and some larger.
Right.
So then eventually the larger ones will die, right? And the smaller ones will grow up and... No?
I don't think they die.
They don't die?
They don't die.
Oh.
Yeah. It rejuvenates them when you pull them apart. You know, then they get bigger and they have more space and...
It restores them.
More nutrients. It just, you know, it's kind of common sense logical that when you pull some of them out of there, add more dirt back in, then there's more nutrients for them.
Is that a good time to put some bone meal?
Definitely.
Anything else? Mm-hmm. Compost?
Yeah. You don't have to do a lot for lilies, but bone meal is always a good...
Okay. And that's a long-acting thing.
It is.
It's not
it's
like
slow
you put
release.
It in and suddenly... The
very low nitrogen.
Yeah. You don't want a lot of nitrogen for irises or lilies.
Not in the fall, no.
Or even hostas.
You know. Oh, okay, because you're going to add a bunch of nitrogen and then they're going to want to grow instead of just go to sleep.
You want
okay.
them to go dormant. You don't want to stimulate them in the fall.
So when do you put compost? You don't ever put compost on those guys?
I would add compost after I've divided them and I'm replanting them to rejuvenate that soil, and they'll get a good growing, get their roots established so that they can have some nice blooms in the spring again.
I hear a conflict.
Well, there was a conflict there because you don't want to give them too much nitrogen in the fall. You don't want to stimulate too much growth.
Well, upper growth, green growth.
Exactly,
yeah.
Because then the plant is going to want to produce, and then that a chill will come along and freeze it, and it might go into shock.
Mm-hmm.
But you do want to rejuvenate the soil because the plant is going to be growing underground all winter and reproducing more bulbs and stuff, so it would give it ready for the spring then.
Mm-hmm. So maybe a little. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. If you want to join the conversation, give a call here to 503-325-0010. You're listening to Dig in the Dirt, and we're talking about what you can do in the garden right now, and we'll be right back. We're back. You've just been listening to music from Bulgaria. Joni just came back from a trip that included visiting Bulgaria. So my guests are Joni Chapel and Nancy Leonard, and they are master gardeners. And we're talking about what you can do in the garden now and the event on Saturday, October 18th, of winterizing your garden presentation and plant sale. Okay, so we were talking about things to divide. I wanted to talk a little bit about irises. People love to grow irises. I love to grow irises. Last year for me was a really good year as I had moved. Well, I had help. I had the Tongue Point kids, and I asked them to take all the irises out. And then I didn't realize we didn't label anything. I mean, everything got thrown into 5-gallon buckets. But they all got into new places, and they weren't, a lot of them were too deep, and the soil was, they were near rhodies, they were near azaleas, they were all moved away from all those, so their pH was better. They got bone meal when they got replanted in the spring, and I had the best ones.
Nice.
So, but I hadn't done it for years, so I had better bloom. I probably don't need to do anything this year, right?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, because everything is new and fresh
right.
from last year.
Just
so like 3 to 5 years?
Yes, and it's you just have to remember, like you said, that's a really good point, is not planting them too deep. Those corms, I mean, you can actually see those.
You need to see them.
They do not want to be buried because they will not bloom well if you do
rot
that.
If they're too deep.
Definitely.
Wait, so. Oh, then they'll rot?
They
oh, I've had that too. Yeah, I've had all of the above. But Steve Schreiner from Schreiner's Iris Nursery, I spent some time with him. And he started rattling off all the things that I could be doing wrong. And I went, oh, my God, yes, that. Oh, yeah, that. Oh. Everything he said, I went, oh, too deep, wrong pH, whatever, everything wrong. And so I corrected all those things. And it was within that year, it was huge.
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I'm grateful. And he also sent me a sheet, multiple sheets for every different kind of iris, which is mostly the same. kind of care.
Different care for different type of viruses.
Well, they seem like mostly the same care for different kinds of viruses.
Okay,
but,
okay.
But, yeah, irises are so beautiful and so awesome. I worry that I have some and they're in not enough sun. But I don't, you know, everything can't be in the full sun.
Can't.
It's impossible.
Well, for you, you have a lot of full sun.
Yeah,
you have more full sun than I do.
We have a lot of maple trees, too, though, on our property.
Oh, a lot of maple trees. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, let's see. Okay. Other bulbs. Spring bulbs. This would be a good time to buy or divide, right? Spring bulbs?
Definitely. Great time to plant your spring daffodils and tulips and...
Crocus?
Crocus,
hyacinth?
Definitely.
Okay.
All those, great time to, if you've had some again in the ground for a long period of time, you've noticed they're not, you know, last spring they didn't maybe bloom as much as
at
normal.
All.
Yeah.
At all.
You need to dig them up and divide them, give them more space.
Now, you know, when the tulip directions say 3 inches, is that ridiculous? It's like your recommendation for dahlias, Joni, is that you not do the recommendations because too deep for here.
Exactly.
And why is it too deep for here?
Well, it just depends on where you live at. Now, where I'm at, it gets really cold. It can get down to 10 degrees at night. I would plant my bulbs in for winter, for spring blooming, a little bit deeper because it gets really cold. But if I lived on the coast and lived closer in, I wouldn't plant them 4 or 5 inches deep. It's not necessary because it's not as cold.
Okay, so depending on where you live, deeper or not
deeper. Exactly.
Now, you also do something with your dahlias this time of year. You cover them up with the maple leaves and put something over that.
Right.
But you haven't done it yet because they're still blooming.
Oh, exactly. They're in full bloom now. They are absolutely stunning right
now.
So,
like around Thanksgiving?
Yeah, when they freeze.
Oh.
The first time it drops below 32 out there on 202, they turn black. They get really ugly. They just freeze overnight, and it just makes me sick. I cry.
It's obvious they're done.
They're done for the year. And then Jerry and I cut them down flush with the ground, cover them with heavy visqueen plastic, and then we bury them with maple leaves, probably about 12 inches deep.
So why don't you put the maple leaves first and the visqueen on top?
Well, I've tried both ways.
Okay.
And this works best for me.
And how do you know it works better?
Well, what a good question, Anne. when I cut down the plant, I put a rock right where the tuber is.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put the plastic over top of the rock. And then I bury them with maple leaves. And then when the rains come along, they soak up the leaves so well that they weigh it down. I put the plastic on top before, and the wind blew it away. I had to put the plastic on top of the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I had to put big rocks on top of it, and I still lost a lot of the plastic, and it just blew away. But the plastic underneath the leaves, there's so much weight from the leaves, it doesn't go anywhere.
And the leaves don't blow away?
No, not really. They get so wet. They get so heavy.
That provide a good insulation.
They're insulated. The dahlias are
now
so insulated.
Now, you put a lot, like a foot?
Yeah, we have dozens of maple trees.
Okay.
So we have millions and billions of leaves
all
over
the place.
Okay,
what would you suggest for someone who doesn't have maple leaves? What could they use instead?
They could use wood chips. Something like that would work. Something that's weighted that can also provide shelter and provide warmth for the plants, the tubers, because they're very, very tender.
So if a person had a lot of compost or some other kind of mulch, they could put that on.
Oh,
there.
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of places, I don't put anything on my plastic. Now, some people may not like the looks of the plastic all winter long, but as long as you have a weighted down so the winter winds don't blow it.
Exactly.
You don't have to put leaves or compost on top of it.
But
just the plastic is sufficient.
Exactly. It depends on where you live. Where I'm at, it's so cold my tubers would freeze even under the plastic if I didn't put something on top of the plastic to shelter them.
So you're really, like, you're putting them in a sleeping bag.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I seldom ever lose a dahlia over the winter when I do it this way.
Uh-huh.
I have some in raised beds, and last year we had a very cold winter.
Mm-hmm.
I put frost cloth over top of my raised bed, and then I put the black plastic over that, And I didn't lose my bulbs. A lot of people lost dahlia bulbs because last winter was so cold.
It was.
And so I think
December.
The frost cloth doesn't add a lot of protection, but with the black plastic that over top of that, I believe that
yeah,
so
it worked for you.
Where's your garden?
I'm on Highway 30 between Astoria and Longview.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a ways from the coast.
Okay, so... And
what I understand is...
So it gets colder.
Yeah, it gets... But mainly, it's not necessarily the cold. Mostly, you're protecting them from the rain. They don't want to be...
Sopping wet.
Soggy wet.
Okay,
exactly.
So here's my confession for last year. I did none of that. And I had the best dahlias I've ever had.
Nice.
Now, I also moved most of my dahlias for the same reason that we moved the irises. We redid a bunch of beds, and and the Tongue Point kids moved things. And now, my newest dahlias, you know, the ones that I just bought from you at the Spring Garden Seminar, they didn't produce a lot, but they produced some, and they're darling. You know, they're those little ones. Mm-hmm. They're yellow, they're orange, they're just precious. But the ones that have been around for a while, they're huge. I didn't cover them. I didn't plastic them. I didn't anything. Now, I'm in town. Maybe the soil doesn't get as cold.
Maybe
I mean,
not.
We had the same cold weather, but it wasn't as cold. So I guess I won. I would have hated to have not had what I'm having right now, which is this, you know, 4 foot tall, gorgeous dahlia.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Especially this year. It's the best dahlia year I've ever had since I've moved here this year. We've had the most sun. The most beautiful summer.
Well, I saw a bouquet at Jane's house yesterday from the Sunday market of the most glorious dahlias. They were so cute. Beautiful bouquet.
That brings up a good subject. This Sunday is going to be the last Astoria Sunday market, so you need to check it out.
Okay, and you two are going to be in the Master Gardener booth.
We definitely will be.
So if people want to pick your brain on any topic, garden-related, or maybe even not garden-related, they can come. And you guys are over on the side between Duane and Exchange.
Yes.
In that parking lot.
Yes. Where usually all the agriculture is, where all the plants are.
Yeah.
We're right in there where all the plants are being sold.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Good. Okay. So let's do a little... you wanted to say something else that we forgot to say about the event of winterizing your garden, Saturday, October 18th. Oh, if people have plants, divisions of plants or starts of plants that they want to donate to that, how do they do that? When and where?
On Friday. We'll be at the fairgrounds from 12 to 2. Nancy and I will be down there on Friday.
Yeah, setting up.
We're setting up on Friday
from
at the fairgrounds.
From 12 to 2, okay.
Or if it's easier, they could probably drop them off at the extension office.
Yes,
okay.
And we'll pick them up and deliver them then.
Okay, on Marine Drive. Or I suppose if they miss all that, they could show up in the morning.
Definitely.
At the event.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay,
yes.
So this is Saturday, October 18th. That's a week from this Saturday, so it's like it's almost 2 weeks.
Right.
And it's from 10 to 2.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And so I suppose if you're really wanting some plants and you want to have the best selection, you want to come early. But for the talks, they're just at different times through the day?
No. Phil Allen's going to talk at 11.
Right.
Okay.
And Chuck is going to start around 12:30.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. And you can bring some soil to get it tested. And there'll be tons of master gardeners around.
Yes.
That sounds great. And any last thoughts of what someone might do in their garden this week before it rains? Should they cover anything up before this torrential rain is going to happen on this weekend?
I don't really think so. I don't cover anything up this early. The ground is still pretty warm.
Well, and the ground is dry.
It's very dry.
D-R-Y.
It's very dry.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't realize how it dried out in between those big rains we had 2 weeks ago. My sunflowers were really stressed out. I went, I haven't watered since it was raining like crazy.
And sunflowers need a lot of water. One final note on the soil testing. You need to drop that off because it does take about an hour. So when you first arrive, find the soil clinic booth, drop off your soil, and then go check everything out and stop back and we'll have the results.
That sounds great. Okay. So we'll see you on the 18th.